All right, thank you for that. If you have a Bible with you this morning, can you turn to Matthew chapter number 8? We're going to read three verses. We just do this out of respect for the Bible. If you possibly could, let's stand as we read the verses together out of respect for God's word. We'll read the three verses and we'll pray and then we'll let you be seated. Matthew chapter 8. We're only going to read three verses this morning. We'll reference some others later, but we're going to read three. Verse number 1. Of course, Matthew is the first of the Gospels in the New Testament. Verse 1 says, "When he was come down from the mountain, great multitudes followed him. And behold, there came a leper and worshipped him, saying, Lord, if thou wilt, thou canst make me clean. And Jesus put forth his hand and touched him, saying, I will, be thou clean. And immediately his leprosy was cleansed." Let's pray. Father, we thank you for loving us again. We can never thank you enough. I pray in these few moments we have that you would give us clarity of thought, help us to get something from your word. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. You may be seated. Excuse me. There are many dreaded diseases today. Of course, cancer is one of the big ones, heart disease and others. And each and every year, rightfully so, countless millions upon millions of dollars are raised and donated and given to research. And people give their lives to try to find cures for some of the deadliest. I think within the past month there was some type of cancer awareness because a lot of the sports teams were wearing the pink clothing to help raise awareness and raise money. In this text, we see a man that had, for his time and that time in history, one of the dreaded diseases. Jesus had just preached one of the greatest sermons ever given, the Sermon on the Mount. In Matthew chapter 5, 6, and 7. And as he comes down from the mount, as seemed to always happen with Jesus, there was a great crowd that followed him. And so the crowd had heard much from him in this sermon, and they want to follow him and get some more truth. And so they were eager, and they came to see what he had to say. So they're gathered around him. But now, as they gather around him, they're not just going to hear a message. They're going to see a miracle. They're going to see Jesus do something miraculous. In that crowd was a man, and he came forward. He was not too close to Jesus at first because he was not allowed to be. I imagine that, and I'll explain his condition in a minute, because of what he had, that he may have heard some of the Sermon on the Mount, but if he did, it was from a distance. But now he makes his way to where Jesus is. What he did doesn't seem like a big deal, but because of who he was, what he did was really unthinkable to the crowd coming up to Jesus Christ. And to be honest with you, it was unlawful by their laws. But why does he come to Jesus? Because of one thing. He wants healing. He needed Jesus Christ to heal him. You say, these are just three verses. There's not much in the story. Actually, there's a lot. And so, if we're going to understand this, I want us to understand it from the perspective of the three individuals that are in the story. I want to briefly look at each. First of all, I want us to notice the man in the story. The first character is this man, the one who came for healing, the one that came straight to Jesus. What was unique about this man? Well, I want you to notice he had a weakness. He had a huge weakness. His weakness was he was a leper. He had leprosy. In the Bible, leprosy was a very dreaded disease. Not so much in our time and not so much in developed countries Leprosy is not that much of a big deal anymore. But back then, it was a big deal. The Jews would regard leprosy as a judgment from God, a sign that God was not with that individual. Not that that was necessarily true. Now, if you look in the Bible, there were examples of those who were given leprosy because it was a judgment, but that wasn't necessarily true. But leprosy was a life-altering disease. It was incurable. They had no cure for it. It was ultimately life-ending. It would literally spread on your body, and it rotted any part of your body that it spread to. You would ultimately die. Not only was there these horrible physical consequences, but there were some social and emotional ones as well. You see, because of the nature of the disease and how it was so contagious, when you became a leper, you were now an outcast. You had to leave. You could not stay around the general population. You had to go without the city. You had to go to the camp where the lepers were. They had to live apart from others except for those who also had leprosy. If for any reason they had to come somewhere and there were people that they noticed anywhere near the area, they had to yell out, unclean, unclean, so the people knew to get out of the way so that they would not catch this horrible disease. What is the point for us? You know, the Bible uses leprosy as a picture of sin. Now, I understand in our day and age, in our politically correct times, we don't like the word sin. But that's the Bible word. Sin is whenever we do something which God forbids. Sin literally means to miss the mark. Whenever we don't live up to God's mark, whenever we don't do that which God requires of us, that is called sin. It's not a mistake. So, well, you know, I made a mistake. No, you didn't make a mistake. You sinned. By the way, I get weary of people in the news and politicians. They do something heinous and like, I made a mistake. They didn't make a mistake. They made a choice and they sinned. But we sin. And leprosy is a picture. It's not an illness. It's not an alternative choice. When we sin, we violate God's law. The reason that leprosy is such a great picture of sin is because it pictures perfectly some of the consequences of sin. It's incurable apart from any human effort. Now, we read the verses. You know that the man gets cleansed. We'll get to that in a minute. But he didn't get cleansed because of anything he did for it. He couldn't go to leprosy management classes or any stuff like that, or leprosy unanimous, or we have an addictions program here in the church. He couldn't go to anything like that. No human effort was going to help him get past this illness, this disease. And no human effort is going to help us get past our sin either. As we'll see in a minute. Sin separates. Do you know what separates us from God? When we disobey Him. Now, there's a solution to that, thank the Lord, and we'll get to that in a minute. But how many times have people allowed things in their life and it gets out to a bad degree, and it separates them from friends. It separates them from family. So sin was a very, very, is very wrong, and we'll talk about that. But leprosy was very dreaded for those very reasons. The only difference between this man's weakness and sin is this. All of us are sinners. Now, not everybody was a leper, but boy, all of us are sinners. But I don't want you just to see his weakness. I want you to see his worship. The Bible tells us, and behold, there came a leper and worshiped him. Worship is when we ascribe worth to something, to someone, when we say, yes, that person, they are worthy of our admiration. The point I want to make about his worship here is that it was not his worship which ultimately got him healed. Now, his worship brought him to the right person. His worship gave a prominence to the right person. But his worship is not what healed him. Do you know there is nothing we can do to be healed from the penalty of our sins. Nothing we can do. That's why we need to thank God for Jesus Christ. I've been baptized. You can be baptized 1,000 times, and you know what you'll be? Wet. Okay? I do good works. I'm glad you do good works. I could give $1 million. See me afterwards. We might work on that one. You can do all of those things. That's not gonna deal with our sin issue. Now, we need to know who the right person is, and he went to the right person, and he gave worth to the right person, and all that is fine, but that did not get him healed, and it will never get any of us healed either. So what got him healed? Well, look at his wish at the end of the verse 2. He came and worshiped him, saying, Lord, if thou wilt, thou canst make me clean. Bingo. Oh, we do that on Friday nights. Actually, we don't do bingo. That's it right there. You know what got him healed? He asked. He went to the right person, and he was willing to come to him and ask for cleansing. That's it right there. If he could come and he could worship, he could have followed Jesus to the ends of the earth, but if he did not ask, he would never have been cleansed. His faith was great, but his faith was in the person who could do the cleansing. So we saw the man. He came to Jesus, and he has this weakness, and he has the worship, and he wants to be healed, and he has the right desire. By the way, many people never get the help they need in anything because they're just simply not willing to go to the right person and ask for the help that they need. I heard a story many years ago that Henry Ford, I hate to use Henry Ford because I'm not really a Ford person, okay? By the way, if you have a Ford, I strongly suggest you get AAA because you're going to need it sometime soon. But Henry Ford, who was, by today's standards, would be considered a billionaire, he had a good friend who sold insurance. And one day, his friend found out that Henry Ford bought insurance from somebody else. So he came to Henry Ford, and he goes, now, we're great friends. You know I sell insurance. Why did you buy insurance with somebody else? And Henry Ford said, you never asked me. How many people don't get the help that God would willingly offer if they would simply ask him for it? But we've got to ask. Now I want you to see the Messiah, the second character in our story, the Lord Jesus Christ. This guy went to the right person. What do I want you to notice about Jesus Christ? Look at how compassionate he was. Look at verse 3. If you just give the scriptures a quick reading, you sometimes miss something. Look what he says. He says, and Jesus put forth his hand and touched him. So what's the big deal about that? You see, the reason it was a shock that the man came up to Jesus is because there was a crowd there. He couldn't do that. It was not right for him to come in the middle of a crowd. He was going to expose them to his leprosy. And to come right up to Jesus Christ personally. But he said, this is my chance. I need healing. I better get to him. He's here, and I don't care what the law says, and I don't care that the crowd's there. I've got to take advantage of this opportunity. And he comes up to Jesus Christ. The crowd is probably in shock, and probably were backing away for fear of the disease. But what does Jesus do? He did something that nobody would do. Nobody. Not this man's friends, not this man's family, not any of the priests or the Levites or the religious people, not one person would have done what Jesus Christ does right here. You know what he does? He touched him. You don't touch a leper. When you touch a leper, you are going to contract their disease. But see, When Jesus touched, he wasn't contracting the disease. He was conveying the healing. It took an act of compassion for Jesus, and the crowd probably must have like, what is going on? Why would Jesus touch that man? You know why Jesus touched him? Because Jesus cares. Jesus has compassion. The word compassion, most of us don't even understand what it means. Compassion is not, I feel bad for you, right? You ever seen somebody and something's going on, it's like, you feel bad for them. By the way, can I just tell you something? If you feel bad for somebody, that doesn't help them. Okay? Then there's, I feel bad with them. You ever see something happen to somebody, it's like, you feel it, right? How many of you have ever twisted your ankle? That hurts. It's enough to make a grown man cry. And we'll watch basketball. Boys and I will watch it, and someone will turn their ankle. And you know how the video is. Let me show you to this in slow motion, high def. And you know, it's like it starts to turn right there. They'll freeze it. That's where it cracks. No, they don't do that. But if you watch that, if you're like me, my ankle starts. I feel it. You know what I'm talking? Because I have done it many, many times playing basketball, and it's like, ugh, I know what he's feeling. Guess what? That doesn't help the guy either. Oh, my ankle hurts. Mine too. That doesn't help. Compassion is different because compassion says, I feel what you're feeling. I feel sorry for what you're feeling, but I'm going to do something about it. Compassion takes that next step. Compassion says, I'm there for you. I am going to help. Jesus was compassionate. Matthew chapter 9, verse 36, speaking of Jesus, it says this. When he saw the multitudes, he was moved with compassion on them because they fainted and were scattered abroad as sheep having no shepherd. Jesus saw the crowd. He didn't say, wow, look at all the people that are following me. He saw the crowd and he felt for them. And he wanted to help them because he said they had weaknesses. They're fainting. They need someone to care. You hear about the if you know anything about the Bible, the feeding of the 5,000, and another time he fed 4,000. Why did he do that? Because there was a crowd there, and Jesus said, they're not going to get back in time to get something to eat. Let's feed them. But Jesus said they have weaknesses. He goes, and they're scattered abroad. They have no idea where they're going. As sheep having no shepherd, they have no direction in life. And Jesus wanted to give them all those things. Why? Because Jesus cares. But he wasn't just compassionate. He took that next step and he made a commitment. Verse 3 again. He touched him saying, I will be thou clean. What did the man ask? Jesus, if you want, you can make me clean. Jesus said, I want to. And he said, be clean. His compassion went to commitment. He made a verbal commitment to heal the man. By the way, God always keeps his word. You can trust God. All of us, if I gave you the microphone, we could all stand up and tell somebody that lied to us about something. God never lies about anything. God's word is true. And he's made a commitment to you and I also. John 3:16, for God so loved the world. Wow, I'm glad he loves me. Hold on. That he gave his only begotten son. See, God's love moved him to action. He didn't just have a feeling for us. Oh, man, they need help. They need help with their sin. He said, I love the world, so I'm going to send my son to take care of that. Commitment. Romans chapter 5:8, but God commendeth his love. The word commendeth means proved. God proved his love toward us. How did he do that? In that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. See, he loved us so much, he did not want us to continue in this condition we were in, like he didn't want the man to continue in the condition he's in, so he sent Jesus Christ to take care of our sin problem. He's committed. And then he's cleansing. And it says, and immediately his leprosy was cleansed. You say, oh, isn't that nice? No, think it through for a minute. Here was a man that was an outcast. Here was a man that probably lived alone. Here was a man that had a dreaded disease that, as he was walking to Jesus, at that very minute was spreading and taking his life. He had no friends. He had no family near him. He was all by himself. So when that man said, "I will, be thou clean," he wasn't just cleaning his disease. He was giving the man a new life. He was giving the man his family back. His family wasn't ditching him because they didn't care. They had to, and that man didn't want them to die. He got his family back. He got his friends back. All because Jesus cleansed him. Jesus wants to cleanse us too. So we've seen the man. We've seen the Messiah. Who's the third and final character? Well, that's the message. What do you mean the message? That's us. What are we going to do about this? See, the stories in the Bible aren't just there, you know, "Oh, it's a nice story. That was entertaining. That was nice." No, there's a message inside of every one of God's stories. Let me just give you a couple thoughts here and we're done. The first thought is this: any problem that we have with God, this sounds a little harsh, I don't mean it to come sound as harsh, now that I'm reading it, it sounds a little harsh, but any problem we have with God is our fault. What do I mean by that? Because we're simply not going to him. We are all sinners, by the way. That is our fault. But if we are having issues and we're not getting the help we need, it's not God's fault. Christ was there. The man had to get to him. The man took that chance by faith and went to him. But so many of us try to hold on to it ourselves. By the way, the Bible calls that pride. How many people's lives have been wrecked? And I'll be honest with you, and I'm glad you're here. Eternities have been ruined because of pride. I don't need help. I don't need God. Listen, I got over that a long time ago. I need everything God can give me. I'll take it. If God's in the Bible says you can have it, I'm like, I'm in. Where do I sign up? Give it to me, because I know who I am. So any problem we have with God is our fault. Why? He's willing to help. That's why. He's willing. And then I would say any offer we have from God is our choice. If God makes an offer, it's our choice whether or not we receive it or not. God doesn't force himself on us. God is the ultimate gentleman. And he offers to us. He offers us many things. He offers us a salvation and eternal life. He offers us a blessed life on this earth. If we don't have it, it's because we're not accepting of it. He is willing. So here's the question. Do you want to be cleansed? This man did. Violated protocol. Did that which, if it didn't work out, could have got him in huge trouble. But you know what? He wanted to be clean. Do you want to be clean? Now, there's two ways God cleanses us. The first way is practically on this life. God has great things ahead for us if we will just follow his ways. The Bible's a great book. Look, say, man, you live life, I'll just be honest with you, especially what's going on in our society and our country now. It's like, man, it seems like things are getting crazier and crazier. How do you handle this? How do you handle that? Or maybe it's a relationship. Okay, I struggle with this or I struggle with that. Whatever it is, the Bible speaks to all of those things. The Bible can help us. But we've got to want his help. But it's not just practical life that God offers. He offers eternal life. See, because that's the first step. What do I mean by that? I mean, we need to find Jesus Christ. I trusted Christ on a big day. Like today, it wasn't friend day. We didn't have friend days, but it was an Easter Sunday. And they told the people in the church, invite a friend to church for Easter. And my friend, Joe Esposito, said, it's Easter Sunday. I don't want to go to church by myself. Come with me. So I came. And it was a day not unlike today, and a lot of people there. And after the service, God worked on my heart, and I was able to meet Jesus Christ. And that day, I secured eternal life. You know why? Because I came to him and said, I want to be cleansed. I knew who I was. All of us, each and every one of us in here, the Bible tells us we're sinners. What is that? You want to go back to the story? That means we're all lepers. We all have the dreaded disease of sin. And sin doesn't just kill us on this earth. Without Jesus Christ, it kills us in the eternal realm forever. But thanks be to God, he did not want that to happen. We read the verse, God commendeth his love. God loved us like we were. Thank God for that. And God did not want us to go where we were headed. Thank God for that. So he provided a way. See, sin has to be paid for. It is punishable. God's court system, when something's punishable, it must be paid for. But God said, you don't have to pay for it. I'll pay for it. So he proved his love in that while we were at sinners, Christ died for us. He paid our price. But we need to accept it. We need to come to him and say, you know what? I believe what the Bible says, and I want to be cleansed. Amen. Don't let sin, don't let that which is wrong dominate your life. It could have eternal consequences, or maybe it just has practical consequences on this earth when cleansing is offered. Will you be clean? Well, that's our option. Let's all stand together this morning, please, for a minute.